live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit. It's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
Hey, what a beautiful day here in Tulare, California. Blue skies overhead. The sun is shining. You can see the snow on top of the Sierra to the east. Exhibits everywhere, equipment everywhere, and that smell in the air. You can smell those ribeye sandwiches already here at the World Ag Expo. More than 50 years this has been going on, back to 1968. And we're excited to be back this year. Over the next 3 days, you're going to hear from some of your favorite Fresno State coaches, some Bulldog alums, some big names in the world of ag, even a couple congressmen. And I'm fired up to start off today with a gentleman who walked up wearing a slick black Stetson, Coach Justin Hudson of the Fresno State basketball team. Hudson Stetson, that kind of has a nice little ring to it.
I love my hat. It's black. I got the black one instead of the white one. It was a gift from the Fagundes family, and I appreciate it. And it was a great time for me to break it out.
One of the many outstanding farming families here in our valley. And, yes, ag does make the valley go. We're standing here in front of a big banner that says Pride of the Valley with that big green V that represents the agricultural influence on all of our lives, whether we see it every day or not. A $50 billion industry in the state of California. That's what ag is. And this is the biggest show in the world like this. More than 1,500 exhibitors here in Tulare over the next 3 days. You're talking about 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space. And, boy, as far as weather goes, you could not have a better day than today, although we might get a better day tomorrow because the forecast looks outstanding all 3 days of the World Ag Expo. Parking here is free, $15 to get in. It's open till 5 o'clock today. And we're going to be giving some stuff away here at our beautiful set. Thanks to E.M. Tharp Incorporated and Golden State Peterbilt for hosting us for a second straight year. We're real easy to find right by Gate 8. Just look for all the classic Peterbilt trucks that are out here. And we're well protected. Did you notice all the California Highway Patrol folks over there, Coach?
I did. I was wondering what they were all doing here. I think they're enjoying the Ag Fest also.
Yes, they are, and they'll answer your questions. If you've ever wondered, you know, what really goes through the mind of a CHP officer, go find them. They're in their uniforms right over there. We're going to be here till 2 o'clock today. Coach Hudson will be with us for the next half hour, and I really appreciate you coming down, Coach, because I know you got a big game tomorrow night. You head up the road to San Jose State later today. Your team, man, has some resilience and some fight. You're coming off a one-point loss at UNLV that came down to the final few tenths of a second, and now you move on to face a San Jose State team that you handled at home pretty well with a record-setting day from New Williams. At this stage in the season, with 5 games left in the regular year before you head to Vegas in the Mountain West tournament, what's your focus? What's your team really pursuing? What are you trying to point them towards?
What a great question, Paul. And first of all, you thank me for coming down. I really appreciate being able to come down. This is the first time I've been to this Ag Fest. I've heard about it. Being from the Valley, I've heard about it a lot. My summer jobs were in the fields. You just thought that's what you did, whether it was the melon fields or whether it was the cotton fields, weeding cotton, because I had a lot of high school coaches that were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So they would give us summer jobs there. So I really appreciate being able to come down to this, and I'm glad we were able to do it. Our practice is a little later at 3:30, and we'll get on that bus and go up to the Bay Area, but I was able to come down with Mr. Tremblay, our SID, our great SID, and then we'll drive back today. Maybe I'll get one of those sandwiches on the way back, though. But, you know, this time of year when you've lost, I think, you know, I try to insulate myself a little bit from it. I know we've had a lot of close games, but driving down with Steven, you know, reminded of how many close games we have lost, you know, and some of it's luck, and we have to make our own luck. We have to make better decisions at the end. You know, we have to have a little luck when the guy shoots a bank shot that he didn't mean to bank at the end and you're on the road, or maybe they run over your guy at the end that you could have got you 2 free throws, but
maybe.
What you really tell yourself most of the time is little victories of you're excited at how hard you're still playing. And you go into every practice to say, let's really get the freshmen better.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not let this last month go to waste. And let's make sure they're getting better and make sure the seniors are continuing to try to lead and to not pack it in. You know, one of the radio hosts that I spoke to before our game in Vegas said most of the teams in February, they're either moving towards something or they're packing it in. And that's not what we're going to do as Bulldogs. That's not And we haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've came out and we've always competed, and we just haven't finished a lot of the close ones. And, you know, you're really focusing on that, to tell you the truth, is making sure that you're getting better and you're having victories of success from competing hard, not making as many mistakes, learning a little bit more, and then staying together. And our guys have done that, so I'm proud of them.
You're listening to the voice of Coach Justin Hudson of the Fresno State men's basketball team. The Bulldogs play at San Jose State tomorrow night. They're home against Utah State on Saturday night. We're going to be giving away some tickets here at the World Ag Expo. I think today we have some baseball tickets to give away because the Diamond Dogs open on Friday. And Thursday morning we'll have Coach Mike Batesel with us here on this program. Again, we're with you from 11 to 2 every day of this World Ag Expo in Tulare. Beautiful weather today. If you're in that parking lot right now listening to us, come find us. Come say hello to Coach Hudson. Check out that slick black Stetson he wore in here today. And, again, he's going to be here till 11:30. If you can't make it here to the World Ag Expo, but you've got a question for Coach Hutt or any of our guests, you can tweet them our way with the hashtag AskAg. Simple as that. AskAgAG. And we'll pass those on. So I wanted to start you out with a basketball question about your team. But even in asking you that, you got into an area that I wanted to explore with you, because if we live in the Valley, we're affected by ag, whether we realize it or not. And you talked about growing up in Kern County, having those summer jobs. What was the best and the worst of those summer ag-related jobs that you did as a young man?
The best was we had a football coach who owned a cotton field. And we had about 10 or 11 of us that would go out early in the morning in the summer and weed the cotton. You know, we'd walk up and down the rows and make sure the weeds were there. And then we would have a lot of dirt rock fights.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then the worst was I worked in the melon sheds, and very well paying. But you stood on a ramp, you know, and even at age 16, you stand on a ramp, an uneven ramp, for 6 or 7 hours. And you have a broom in your hand with duct tape around the broom, and you got to push the melons down to the packers.
Uh-huh.
And the packers are getting paid by how much they pack, so they have no patience of how to make sure melons are right within their reach. And I think that I've had a lot of summer jobs. That was one. That was the only one that never lasted. I stood there for about a month or two, and I said, "Hey, Coach, my pops, I can't do that anymore." It was pretty tough. But there was a lot of them, to tell you the truth, and that's just what you did. You didn't realize. I didn't, you know, realize we were the biggest ag, you know, area in the world. And this mm-hmm. expo, I've never been down to this expo, but I'm excited to be here, and it's very interesting. Reminds me a lot of the Final Four, to tell you the truth.
Really? Well, that's an interesting comparison. So, I mean, obviously, as a college basketball coach who's been in this business for a long time, you've been to the Final Four. So what are the parallels that you see between here, the World Ag Expo, and college basketball's biggest stage?
Well, everybody's involved in coaching, the high school coaches, college coaches. You know, there are a lot of them are – you make your trip to the Final Four because it's a national convention. So you can go into clinics. You can go into exhibits. You get to network. And it reminds me a lot of this. You know, now the Final Four is in different areas every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, it's very similar to walk around and look at the tractors or the trucks or different things that are here that can help your business. Well, you have the same thing going on at the Final Four, which will be in Atlanta this March.
Have you ever driven a tractor before?
I have not. I've ridden on a few, but I haven't driven any.
Mm-hmm. Well, right over there, right next to us here at the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt area, they have a little spot there where Massey Ferguson will let you hop on and try to beat the best time in doing a specific trick with that tractor. So
I'm admiring this big truck here that the Shannon brothers have right in front of us. How beautiful is it? And, you know, I want to give a shout-out to them. They're good friends with one of my good friends here in Tulare, and what a great family for Fresno State Athletics. You know, very generous in what they donate to us. And, you know, to be able to come here and look at this beautiful truck is great. I wish I could see them here since I'm in their town. But we have practice this afternoon, so I have to get back.
It is a striking vehicle. It's the big Peterbilt rig that says Pride of the Valley, Fresno State Bulldogs, right on the side. A little checkerboard end zone up there with the Bulldog mascot. And a dog tag that says Big Dog 48 right on the driver's side door. And, of course, it's polished up real nice with that bright Bulldog red over here at E.M. Tharp and Golden State Peterbilt's exhibit at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're talking to Fresno State basketball Justin Hudson. And if you didn't hear it, he told us about some of his ag-related gigs growing up in Kern County. weeding the cotton field, working at a melon shed. What did those kind of jobs do for you? What characteristics or qualities do you look back on and say, hey, having a chance to do that at that age helped me develop X?
I was just raised well by my dad. You know, looking back on it, you didn't know it back then, but, you know, you were either going to work and he was going to help you, or if you didn't work, he wasn't going to help you. So it was pretty simple. You know, he would allow me to stay at home in the summer, but I wouldn't have any money in my pocket. But he encouraged me to make sure I go out and work. And, you know, we had network from him being a high school teacher and a coach for so many years that, you know, we were able to have some pretty good jobs that taught you some work ethic here that is so prevalent here in the Valley that starts with the ag culture.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me that the time weeding the cotton field really built up your hamstrings and your glutes and gave you some better lift on the basketball court.
If you actually ever see how thin I was then, it didn't do much for my body. And that was back when lifting weights threw off your shot, right? It was if you lifted weights, you didn't do it as a basketball player. That's how old I am. I'm dating myself.
Well, you're making me feel old too, because I remember the same story. And one last thing on that. Do you ever have that rotten cantaloupe smell waft by and you recognize it instantly?
Absolutely. You know, and those smells that you have that come in the Valley, you know, you're just used to those. You don't, you know, I was gone from the Valley for 14, 15 years coaching in San Diego and Las Vegas. But when you come back, you notice them a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But when you grow up here for, you know, your first 30 years, that's just a natural smell, whatever it is.
Smells like home.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the farmers talk about the smell of money, and they have different interpretations for that. But you're going to smell a lot of things out here at the World Ag Expo, including those world-famous ribeye sandwiches. We're here till 2 o'clock today, live on the radio, with a parade of guests. We're going to have some great folks joining us, and we've got another 15 minutes or so with Coach Justin Hudson. So if you've got a question for the Bulldog basketball coach, tweet it our way. Make sure you attach that hashtag AskAg here at the World Ag Expo, and we're back after this on the Home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
Back here in sunny Tulare. You bet it's sunny. Man, beautiful day. Can't get much better than this, although tomorrow might do it. We're going to be with you till 2 o'clock today. Some of the folks we have coming up a little later, we have Fresno State volleyball coach Jonathan Winder, the football coach Kalen DeBoer will be here. We have some former Fresno State baseball players I think you're going to enjoy hearing from, including the only Bulldog who's ever been the most outstanding player of the College World Series. All here at the E.M. Tharp and Golden State Peterbilt area, very close to Gate 8 at the International Agri Center, here for World Ag Expo 2020. We're joined by Coach Justin Hudson of the Fresno State basketball team. His Bulldogs go to San Jose State tomorrow, a rematch of a game the Bulldogs won at the Save Mart Center earlier this year. Now, you've gone to the event center in San Jose for a lot of years, Coach. What's unique about playing there?
It's a little different arena. It's probably not one of the nicest ones in the conference.
Not usually a big crowd.
Not usually a big crowd. We had a nice Red Wave crowd last year. That was very surprising in my first year here to come out and see all the reds sitting in those blue seats.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it was a very good feeling, you know. So, you know, it's a little unique because, you know, for us, we have a pretty good crowd, so it's pretty good. But when you have a great crowd, like some of the people in our conference, and you go and you play at San Jose, it's a little different, you know, when it's not as many people there, you know.
For instance, San Diego State, the only undefeated team in the country right now, selling out every game, and even, you know, some of those tickets are getting scalped for $200-$300. So that place is packed, and then you go to San Jose, and there might be 500 to 1,000 people there.
Yeah, for them, they have to get up for that, you know. And they've, you know, I think they sold out for most of the games for the last 10, 12, 13 years there, mm-hmm. along with the Pit, and have a great crowd. You know, Reno must really got them going and got that crowd revitalized. And Colorado State has a nice crowd. Boise usually has a nice crowd. And Vegas is up and down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even when they're up and down, they're probably getting 7,000, 8,000.
We're talking to Coach Justin Hudson of your Bulldog basketball team. The next home game, by the way, for the Dogs is Saturday night, 7, against the defending Mountain West champion Utah State Aggies, tomorrow night at San Jose State. And I'm sure one of your players that people are eagerly anticipating, what's he going to do next? Freshman Nevin Hart. He had the breakout performance with 29 here in a home loss to Colorado State, and comes right back and puts 15 on the board at UNLV. And I don't think any of his 15 points were the most exciting thing he did in UNLV when he had that chase down block and swatted it off the glass. What's next for Nevin Hart? And how do you keep the reins tight enough but loose enough at the same time on a guy who is that physically gifted?
He's starting to understand that himself now, which is, you know, that's why he was in and out of the lineup early, and then he hurt himself. And I don't know how many games he missed, but even when he came back, he wasn't himself. You know, right after Christmas, he got a concussion in practice, and it was a little tough because I don't even think we were going live at that point in time, and he wasn't himself for a while. You know, you could tell he wasn't himself. I was trying to figure out why he wasn't himself, and he had a concussion, so he was out for a while, and it really hurt his development. And you hit it right on the nose. Niv is very talented. You know, he can score the basketball. He's very athletic. He can shoot it. And when he's downhill in transition, he's a problem for the other team. If we can get out and get him the ball in transition, he's definitely a problem. You can't backpedal on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm very excited that he's been able to play consistently. And now he's getting more comfortable out on the floor, and he's recognizing when to pick and choose his spots, you know. Still as a freshman and as talented as he is, there's going to be some times where we're not as happy with his shots, and he is going to have to learn how to continue to play defense, but it's not a problem of effort right now, which is the first thing that you work on is you say, hey, just give us an honest effort out there and really work hard, and we'll teach you where to be. And Niven's had a great attitude with that, so I'm really happy with that he is able to get some success because he deserves it.
We're talking to Justin Hudson, Bulldog basketball coach, and, of course, a Valley native from Bakersfield. He told us about some of his personal history in the ag world, working in cotton fields, weeding them out, and melon sheds in his younger days. I'm curious for you, Coach, since you mentioned the time that you were away from the Valley, living in San Diego and Vegas, not too far away from the Valley, but still not here. I think about my own memories when I left the Valley to go back east for school in upstate New York. I really missed all the fresh produce around here. I mean, it was night and day, the quality. What about you? Was there something about what ag does for the Valley that you noticed wasn't there when you were in these other places?
Exactly, the fresh produce and the fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a big vegetable eater when I was little, but I am now.
Uh-huh.
But exactly, and then family, you know, so it doesn't have much to do with the ag in that situation, but definitely the fresh fruit, you take advantage of that when you're here. But, you know, the almonds, I am a big almond eater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to eat those, especially as I'm getting older. They're so healthy for you. But, you know, just so many family and friends growing up in the Valley, you know, from Bakersfield all the way through Fresno, to tell you the truth. It's not, I wasn't just a Bakersfield guy. Like I say,
That's right.
Of my best friends lives here in Visalia. You know, I have two aunts that live in Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always up and down the 99 freeway, whether I'm going north or south.
So if a farmer would let you walk up to a tree or a vine and pick a fresh piece of fruit from anything, what would be the one?
Grapes.
Man. green or
green.
Red? All right.
Green.
Big Thompson seedless?
Just one of those. Not
big
too picky.
Uh-huh.
I'm not
okay.
Too picky.
All right. Well, I'm sure everybody heard that, so maybe you'll have some grapes coming your way or some almonds. Whatever it is, it grows in the Valley. That's just the reality of it, and our Valley agriculture does feed the world. California accounts for 13% of the entire country for agricultural exports. It's a $50 billion industry here in the Golden State. And we're talking about ag and the Bulldogs and how they interconnect. And if you've got some questions for any of our guests today, you can send them our way on Twitter with that hashtag AskAg. You know, you and I have talked a lot about this team that you have this year. Such a large contribution from freshmen. For the most of that game in Las Vegas the other day, I mean, you were looking about 90% of your points were from freshmen until Noah Blackwell, one of your seniors, caught fire late in the second half. How much difference do you see in the way those freshmen as a group are playing now compared to the first couple weeks in the season when you really didn't know how they were going to be able to perform?
Yeah, no idea early. So, you know, as coaching staff, you're always saying, what could you have done at the end of these games, and how can you be more consistent? If you're a Bulldog fan, you watch us and you say, we have a lot of talent. We do some good things, but we're inconsistent. But with the injuries and then not knowing what you were going to get from the freshman, you know, you're piecing things together, and you're just trying to be in the game and win it at the end. And, you know, our freshmen scored a lot of points at Vegas. You know, I think at one point in time it was 31 out of 32, but they were keying on New.
Right.
You know, they let New get off last game at the Save Mart Center last time we played them early in December, and they were playing a little closer to New. You know, and Nate rebounded the ball, and like you said, Noah made some big shots for us, especially in the second half. You know, but you can't help but look and say, okay, we do have a lot of guys back from this team that are young, that are inexperienced, that hopefully they're going to continue to get better over this next 3 weeks.
And what about for your seniors? You've got those three seniors that you just mentioned. What about for them down the stretch? What do you hope to see them experience?
Continue to learn how to lead, because that has to take them into their, you know, we tell them all the time, this is you're grown after this. Once this ends, you know, nobody's going to tell you why to do something. They're just telling you how to do it, and here's what I want you to do. Then they're going to evaluate whether you did it or not. We're trying to tell you why and teach you how and explain, and with this, especially with this group, you know, why, how, consistency, you know, how important it is. And you're supposed to leave here, and they're going to leave here basketball-wise here sometimes in March, and they're going to go out and try out for some team somewhere, and they're going to be judged on what they know and what they do. They're not going to be taught. Now, if you make the team, they may teach you a little bit, but they're going to be evaluated on what they do. So We want to let them know that, you know, the whys and the hows and all the stuff that we're trying to teach them, that ends here in a while.
I've got kind of a goofy question for you, but I'm sure it's something a lot of fans are thinking about. We're talking to Coach Justin Hudson here of your Fresno State basketball team here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Just a couple more minutes with them here. So, you know, the conference this year has a clear-cut favorite. San Diego State hasn't lost a game to anybody in the Mountain West or anybody in the country. So, obviously, the Aztecs are getting a lot of attention. You've played them twice. You've played them just about as tight as just about anybody else in the country. And I'm sure at sometimes you think about, hey, what if we get another chance at those Aztecs in the Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas? I know that's a little bit ahead of where we are right now. How do you think your team would respond to an opportunity like that, especially if it's the only undefeated team in the country and you've got a chance that late in the season to make that splash and knock them off?
I don't think about my stuff very much, to tell you the truth. I'm just hoping we're healthy when we come in March, and we're better. You mentioned Niven, you know, you see the growth of Orlando, you know, and handling double teams and trying to be consistent and be more fundamentally sound. You're seeing Jared Hyder, you know, and the ins and outs of him. And in some games he's a scorer, some days he's a facilitator, and he's getting more comfortable out there. You're seeing Anthony Allen, who makes open shots, is a great defender, who's talking out there. And so you're saying, okay, we found another one with Niven Hart, who's becoming more consistent. So now you have your three seniors that you talk about that, you know they're going to be ready. And so you're just, to tell you the truth, you're really just trying to get better in every practice. You're ready to get back today at 3:30 and say, how can we make less mistakes than we've made at UNLV? How do we understand things a little bit more? How do we play together? How do we flow? How do we play to our role? How do we stay aggressive? You know, but be smarter about it. And so, yes, we're excited to get to Vegas here in a couple weeks, and because now we're 0-0 again. But you know, our team knows that we can beat any team. I mean, I think we've had our whole team together 4 or 5 games, and one of those games we lost to Utah State in overtime at Utah State.
That's a good.
And
point.
They had Kata, so we know that. We know that we were missing 3 starters down at Viejas, and it was a close game. So we know we can beat any team, but we also know we can lose any team the way we play. And where you're trying to explain, especially to the young guys, the why. How do you stop that? You know, how do you become more consistent? So, you know, as a coaching staff, that's the best way we put our foot forward, is to say we're coming to get better every day. Because if you start looking back at all the what-ifs and the close games that we lost and whys and hows, it can be discouraging. That's what you don't want to be that way as a leader with these young men.
It really tests your ability to focus, doesn't it?
If it tests mine, it definitely tests theirs.
Yeah.
right? You know, this is probably the toughest season I've ever been through as a player or a coach. And so, you can reminisce on some of the times, the whys and hows and the ifs and the what ifs and all the things that you have. But the only thing that's good for you is what can you do better? And to relate to them to what they do well and what they can do better and move on, you know, and that takes some maturity. So you better model that for these young men. And I think our staff has done a good job of that.
Well, that's what's most impressed me this year is watching your staff keep everybody together and keep them positive and keep them focused. And who knows what's going to happen down the stretch. Tomorrow night at San Jose State and then Saturday night at home against Utah State. He's Coach Justin Hudson from your Fresno State basketball team. Coach, I hope you get to enjoy the scenery here around the World Ag Expo and some of the great food. The ribeye sandwiches come highly recommended. The peach cobbler, I think you can find just about everything you want.
Got to get back for practice, but I definitely will grab some stuff here on the way back and we'll eat it on the road.
Thanks for coming out.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Coach Justin Hudson. We're back after this. We'll talk a little Bulldog volleyball from the World Ag Expo in Tulare here on the Home of the Dogs, 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
Hey, just getting nicer and nicer out here. That sun is getting higher in the sky, making the snow on the Sierra look a little bit brighter. And well, yeah, I can still smell that beef. Those ribeye sandwiches are calling my name. We're here at the E.M. Tharp and Golden State Peterbilt exhibit at the World Ag Expo, very close to Gate 8 if you're trying to navigate. And that may work out for you. If you hear on the radio that we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Fresno State baseball opener Friday, and you come up and tell me here on our stage that you heard that, I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to Fresno State's baseball opener, a Valentine's special on Friday night at 6 o'clock. A lot going on this week. The Bulldog basketball team at San Jose State tomorrow night. Thanks again to Coach Hudson for coming by. The ladies play at home tomorrow with a chance to clinch the Mountain West. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip. Later on today, here on our stage, we're going to have Frank Pucher from the Fresno State Athletic Department talk about this Pride of the Valley campaign. We're going to have the head football coach, Kalen DeBoer, show up at 1 o'clock. And Pat Hill's going to be here, too. That ought to be entertaining. And at 1:30, Tom Mendoza, the Diamond Dog legend, the all-time Fresno State home run king. He's working here at the World Ag Expo, so we'll give him a break and let him come talk some baseball. At 12:45, we're going to hear from Congressman Jim Costa. Tomorrow, we'll hear from Congressman Devin Nunes. I just saw somebody walking by with one of his hats on. But right now, we get to hear from the coach of the Fresno State volleyball team, Coach Jonathan Winder. You were here last year at the World Ag Expo. So I've got to start with that. What was that like last year? What did you experience here at the World Ag Expo that made you want to come back?
It's the biggest thing I've seen in a couple of years. It was remarkable how many people are here.
And you've got long legs, so I know you can cover a lot of ground in a hurry, but you can walk and walk and walk and walk, and 3 or 4 hours later you still haven't seen everything.
Yeah. And I kept seeing these tractors, and I'm pretty tall. And I thought, man, I'm usually taller than most of these cars, but these tractors are like 10 times my height. And I don't know how anybody gets in these tractors.
And they're pretty high tech, too, now. They can do some incredible things, and you don't even have to be in some of them to drive them and have them make your rows perfect. I mean, it's incredible how the world of ag has changed over the years. Why don't you remind everybody here in Red Wave Land and Bulldog Land here in Central California where you grew up and how you ended up here at Fresno State.
Yeah, I grew up in Orange County down in Southern California, and then my wife and I met at Pepperdine, and she is a Clovis West Fresno her whole life, and played at Clovis West, and then her dad, Vance Wahlberg, is the boys basketball coach there, and her sister, Heather Long, is the girls basketball coach at Clovis North, and so it was a big opportunity for us to come back, be around family, and her sister has a few little kids, and one of her other brothers lives here in town and is a real estate agent here, Ian Wahlberg. And so we get to be around family, and we go. I think last week we were at a basketball game Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And it's great, and we have a great time here. And actually one of my best friends from college also was from Fresno, and so in college I remember thinking, like, man, what is it up at Fresno? My my future wife and my best friend are both from Fresno, and I'm this guy from Orange County going to Pepperdine, and I was like, there must be something in the water.
Magnetic pull. Pulled you away from the beach and here to where everything grows and where we feed the world here in Central California. And, you know, I was going to ask you about your extended family, and you beat me to the punch. I was imagining that this time of year gets pretty exciting. Even though you're a volleyball coach, you have to become a big basketball fan. You probably have to change your wardrobe a lot.
Yeah, we have to switch, especially they got a battle right now between Clovis West and Clovis North, and so we're having to switch outfits and allegiances. I think the girls and boys now play often on the same night, and so at 5:30 we'll go to the girls' game, and then at 7 is the boys', and you have to kind of switch sides or put a different shirt on, put a different jacket on, you know. And I've got three little kids that run around at all the games and probably wreck havoc, but they love it. And so we'll, you know, be in the gym for a couple hours, and it's the way my wife grew up. You know, her dad was the coach at Clovis West for a couple decades, and so just kind of being in the gym is something that we're really familiar with and really comfortable with. And so our kids are now going at that age where they're doing the little camps and clinics, and kind of like growing up in the gym. And so right now it's pretty busy. And I think Tuesday, Wednesday, the last couple of games here of the league, of the track. And then they have the playoffs get going next week.
Did you talk to Coach Hudson about your future Bulldog basketball stars there?
Yeah. My son's ready. About 15 years away.
Well, you know, you got to start early. Well, and, you know, we'll get into volleyball and some of what your former players are doing and what the current team and future team looks like. But as far as how your understanding has changed, moving from Orange County here to the Valley, because I know a lot of the people here, well, there are people here at the World Ag Expo from literally all over the world just walking in for the parking lot. I think I heard German, I heard Japanese, I heard some Spanish. I mean, I heard a lot of different languages being spoken, and they really do come from all over the world here to Larry in the San Joaquin Valley for this exhibition. But for, you know, a lot of the folks listening and a lot of people here grew up in the Valley. Ag has always been a part of their life. The Valley mentality has always been there. What are the things maybe that you didn't expect or you didn't understand about the Valley that you do now that you've been here for a couple of years?
Yeah, I think one thing I think had another influence on me was I played professional volleyball in Europe, and in the cities I was in, all of them were something similar to Tulare or Visalia, where it's a city of maybe 50 to 75,000 people, and then they have a professional team that they're bringing in people from all over the world, and they have one, like, volleyball is their sport, right? They didn't have a basketball team. There's not really youth sports, and so the whole town comes out to the game, and so I kind of learned what that community life is like, as a lot of the people were working in they had their own farm, their own agricultural area, and, you know, I thought the same thing when I came in. I heard some people speaking German. And it was kind of took me back instantly to, you know, kind of driving through the fields as you're going from town to town, which is really similar here. And so that had a pretty big impact on me. That was after college for about 5 years. And then, you know, being back in it, or again, living in it, I think you really, it always teaches me lessons about hard work, and you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And kind of this law of the harvest is something that is maybe a value you don't recognize when you're living in a really busy, you know, I don't know, city life, you might say.
Sure, an urban area.
Yeah, it's just really understanding and seeing it every day is how hard people work and how long you have to work and how diligently you have to work, and kind of really understanding that and loving the process of that, I think, is something we talk a lot about with our team, and we're doing that right now, is just kind of this idea of the law of the harvest, and you get good at what you spend your time doing. So if I'm a farmer and I don't actually go out and see my farm, it's probably not going to be very good. You know, but you don't really know that for another like 6 months, you know, and what you do during the summertime or the different seasons makes a big impact when you need it to make a big impact later on.
He's Coach Jonathan Winder, the Fresno State volleyball team. We need to take a break, but we're going to talk some more to him. He mentioned his own playing experience overseas. We had a young lady here with us last year at the World Ag Expo who was a senior in the Bulldog volleyball team who's now playing overseas herself, and we're going to talk about that. If you've got some questions for Coach Winder or any of our other guests today, We're with you till 2 o'clock today, 11 to 2 tomorrow, and 11 to 2 on Thursday here at the World Ag Expo. You can send those our way on Twitter. Just make sure you use that hashtag, AskAg. Simple as that. We're back after this from sunny Tulare, California, the World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
Back here in Tulare, we're talking to Fresno State volleyball coach Jonathan Winder, former star volleyball player himself and now leading the ladies of Fresno State. You know, I don't know if I've ever talked to a volleyball coach about what the off season looks like for volleyball. What are all your players doing? What is the coaching staff doing? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of volleyball, believe it or not. And so we spend, like right now, we're not doing a ton of it. And then we'll do a lot of weightlifting right now. So they lift four times a week. And we practice for basically 1 hour four times a week, kind of like small group things because of the NCAA legislation. And so we do that for about 2 months, and then we practice full, like we're in the middle of season, where we have, you know, a couple hour practices and still lift some weights. We got to jump high and hit hard, you know, you got to get yourself physically ready for the season. And and so we'll do that for a couple months. And I like beach volleyball. I've coached that at the University of Washington. It's something I believe really helps develop the whole athlete. I think in sport today, oftentimes the athletes get really specialized. And they don't necessarily know how to move in all different ways and respond to these unexpected events. And for us, beach volleyball is a nice little avenue. So we'll spend a couple weeks out on the beach. One, it physically kind of prepares you a little bit differently and better in some better ways. And I think it forces you to see the game a little bit differently. There's only two people on each side versus six on six. Creates a lot more stress and pressure because it's kind of like it's me against you, and you're going to serve the ball at me every time. And if I'm not good at it, then I'm going to fail, and it's going to be all on me. And then my partner's going to be like, hey, Paul, what's going on here, man? Pick it up. But so you just get to create these little environments a lot more often that you don't necessarily get in indoor. And so we like it from kind of a training element, change of pace, you know, kind of as the sun starts warming things up around here. And so we'll do that for a couple weeks.
Well, I know what some people are saying, right? Well, here we are in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley. We're in Tulare right now, and, of course, you coach at Fresno State, so you say we get them out on the beach. They're saying, where's the beach?
In the parks. You drop some sand in anywhere, you know, dig a hole. We got lots of tractors around here. We could build a lot of beach courts. Dig some holes, put some sand in there and some poles, and you got yourself a court.
Well, you know, back in the day, Fresno used to have a professional beach volleyball tournament that would come up there to Lost Lake Park. I recently was down at Cal Poly doing a basketball game, and I'm sure here on the grounds of the World Ag Expo that the Cal Poly-Fresno State rivalry is alive and well. But they have a beach volleyball team now, and they put their courts right next to the basketball arena.
Yep. Yeah, right next to the gym. So they can – because some of their kids will do both sports. Yeah. You know, now I think there's about 80 teams in NCAA that have women's beach volleyball as a sponsor sport. And I coached at my last school, and you kind of get to cross over and do both things, and it's pretty fun.
So I have to ask you, and I'm not trying to get you in trouble. Hearing you say that, I'm sure I'm not the only one thinking, well, would it benefit Fresno State to have women's beach volleyball? Would it accentuate what you're doing with indoor volleyball? We know that money is an issue. There are other issues that can get into that mix. But is there some point in the future where you think having women's beach volleyball at Fresno State would actually make the whole athletic department better?
Yeah, I'll be clear with my responses. But I think that, again, beach volleyball is a important thing. I think it's pretty common as it's been added to some of the elite programs. Nebraska has beach volleyball. Minnesota, I know, has been in the mix with adding beach volleyball. Stanford has it, UCLA, USC. So it's pretty Washington. We added it a few years ago when I was there. And it is just a good quality sport that increases more opportunities for young women to be playing sports. And I think from an athletic training standpoint and from a volleyball development standpoint, it's pretty common where it does help facilitate that. I think one of the big things for me with it was that it really helped develop the younger players and gave your roster a more comprehensive team. You know, you just have these younger players that maybe didn't play in the indoor season, all of a sudden you're competing in the beach volleyball season and you're getting these experiences of stress and pressure and these interactions and communication with your teammates, and there's so many lessons that can be learned there that can apply to both. So now most of the Big West has it, most of the WCC has it, actually I think all of the WCC has it, and then most of the Pac-12 has it now.
And even a couple schools that Fresno State competes against in the Mountain West, San Jose State I know has added it. Yeah. And there are some other places talking about it. So I guess just to clarify, what I hear you saying is, in a vacuum, absent the things that are outside of your purview, like, you know, budgets and Title IX issues and all that, if it were just about the sport, having a beach volleyball team would make the indoor volleyball team better.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, makes the indoor team better. And I think it's a growing sport in the community. In Fresno City added it as a beach. They have a beach program, and they're just building a beach volleyball facility at Fresno City College.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be a beautiful, like, championship facility, and they're going to host big beach volleyball events, kind of like back to the Lost Lake days. And so Kieran Robley is a former Fresno State player that's the head coach there now, and she does a great job and has that thing going. And then it's, you know, there's been maybe even in the 2 years I've been here now, there's three or four clubs that have started in the Clovis kind of Fresno area with beach volleyball.
Well, I guess maybe the ag analogy there is it would be an accelerated version of farmers who alternate their crops, right?
There you go.
I mean, you could have your beach season and your indoor season. Who knows? Maybe someday it'll happen. By the way, anything you want me to ask Terry Toomey, your athletic director, when he's here tomorrow?
No, I'm sure there's lots. He'll get lots of other questions. That one's not high on the priority list, probably.
Before we run out of time, I want to ask you, you know, last year you were here, and you had one of your alums, Taylor Slover, who's from Tulare County and has spent her whole life in the world of ag. She was here with you talking about her experience. What's she up to now?
Taylor is incredible, and she's currently playing professional volleyball in Finland. So she grew up in here in Visalia, and her dad, Jeff Slover, has been bringing her to this Ag Expo for 20 years, and he works in the chemical area here. And so she went and signed a contract and gets paid to play professional volleyball in Finland, and
awesome. She's
doing a great job. She's playing really, really well for her team, and I know she'll either keep going there or hop to another team. You know, there's different, basically a professional league in every country, and so she'll have more opportunities next year now that she's more familiar with the European system and kind of has her in over there and has done really well.
Outstanding. Yeah, I can't let you go without having you give us a preview of next year's team, what you're excited about, what Valley fans can look forward to from Fresno State volleyball.
Yeah, we're continuing to build our program. I think we finished second a couple years ago, and we're right in the middle of the pack this last year before we had an injury that took one of our key players out for 6 or 7 games. And so everybody's back and getting healthy. And, we return, 11 of our 12 people, 11 of the 13 people are back. And so I would think that we'll have a nice team. We'll be a little bit more experienced. We'll have get everybody on the same page this off season. So that's what we're doing, and I think we'll have the opportunity to be a pretty special group next year.
Well, we'll remember those words, and we'll look forward to it. Thanks so much for coming down today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Winder, Fresno State volleyball coach. That hour just flew by. We talked some basketball. We talked some volleyball. Up next, we're going to talk some ag. We're going to get down and dirty with the world of the World Ag Expo here in Tulare. We're going to talk to some of our friends from Helena Agri Enterprises here at the World Ag Expo, here till 2 o'clock today on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
I'll tell you that music's getting a little catchy. Those rejoins, those little bumper music segments there. I kind of felt like I was at the beach. We're talking beach volleyball with Jonathan Winder from Fresno State. It's definitely beach weather here in Tulare today. So the question is, where's the beach? Do you have to go all the way to Reedley? Do you have to go out to San Luis Obispo? I don't know, but we're going to talk ag with the Western Division Manager from Helena Agri Enterprises, Eric Neese, joining us now. And you brought some moral support here. You got some people cheering for you out there by this big E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt set. Who'd you bring with you today?
Yeah, I brought my fan club here. I have my wife, Christina, and my youngest daughter, Riley, who's a senior at CVC right now, and my middle daughter, Taylor. She's a sophomore at Cal Poly studying plant science. And then I have two little minions there are some friends of ours that we take care of, or my wife and family takes care of often, once a week about. So.
Well, I guess Taylor knows where the beach is then, huh? She goes to Cal Poly?
Oh, yeah.
Pismo or Avila? Avila. All right. There we go. Well, I'll tell you, it's beautiful weather here in Tulare today. And the World Ag Expo. Eric, how long have you been coming to this thing?
Oh, gosh. Since I was probably 10 or 11, I remember coming with my dad for the first time, and it seems to be an annual deal, year in and year out since then. Yeah.
And you grew up in Visalia?
Grew up in Visalia, yeah. Not a native. I was actually born down south, L.A. area, but moved up here when I was very young.
And were you involved in the world of ag growing up, or what was it that hooked you?
Some friends of the family. I mean, we lived out in the country and lived a country life, I guess, growing up. But friends of the family were consultants in agriculture, and I went to work for him one summer, and it hooked me. Worked for him for 2 years, and then soon after that, jumped into a plant science degree at Fresno State, graduated from Fresno State, and then...
Say that again, just because there's some Cal Poly folks around here. Where'd you graduate from, Aaron?
Fresno State.
Okay.
Go Bulldogs. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then, 27 years later with Helena the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a good company, been a good ride. Enjoyed it.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because here at the World Ag Expo, I think people who are not immersed in the world of ag get here and they say, I didn't realize ag was so complicated or so diverse, or there were so many different things that go into it. Because especially if you don't live in an agricultural area, you go to the grocery store, you buy a piece of fruit or a vegetable, and you probably have no idea what all went into that. And even if we understand ag a little bit, we think of the farmers, we think of the people who have to harvest whatever that crop is. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of the world of ag that we don't see or probably don't think about. And I'm guessing that's a lot of what Helena Agri Enterprises is involved with. How would you explain to the uninitiated all the things that Helena is involved in?
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of space, a lot of components that go into that, the deliverable at the end of the day to that grocery store. And obviously Helena is in one of those spaces that really provides a number of components to help us get to that point. All your crop protection needs and fertilizer and different nutritionals. And even the precision farming side of the business that is kind of the up-and-coming piece of the puzzle, and we've actually witnessed a lot of that here today at the Ag Showcase.
How much have you seen that side of the ag world change in those 27 years you've been with Helena? What's the biggest difference, you think, today compared to when you started?
You know, back when I started in the early 90s, I guess, in the ag world, it seemed to be most of the valley was covered in row crops for the most part, cotton, corn, alfalfa. And over time, since I've been involved in ag, it's really flip-flop from more of a 20% trees and vines, 80% row crop to 80% trees and vines and 20% row crops. So there's a lot more of the influence of the fruits, stone fruit, to the nut crops, to the table grapes. You know, some of the larger crops that we deal with today, with the almond and pistachios and walnuts, the nut crop side of it is really expanded greatly over the last 20, 25 years.
Well, and certainly it follows the economy, it follows supply and demand, and one of the things I think a lot of people don't realize is how far in advance a grower has to make a decision that's going to impact everything else.
Sure.
And But I'm wondering about for your guys' side of the business, with all the products that Helena provides, is that something that you have to be following those kind of forecasts to tailor your products toward the specific crops that are going to be big that year?
Yeah, I mean, we look towards forecasting, look towards the opportunity, what's coming up, and the demand or the need for that next crop, well ahead of that season or well ahead of that year. It's an ongoing target. It's a moving target, I guess you'd say. You know, it's ongoing and really needing to understand what the demand is for that given crop or for that given season. It seems like this is ever-changing. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the almond industry or the citrus industry, the table grapes, the cotton, the corn. It's just, it's a constant moving target that you got to be really well-versed in to make sure that you're doing the right thing well in advance to make sure that you have that supply and whatever that need is for that customer, for that grower, at the end of the day, once the season hits, you got to be ready for it.
We're talking to Eric Neese, Western Division Manager for Helena Agri Enterprises, one of the countless companies that are showing their wares here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Where do they find Helena here? Do you need to look at the map? Can you give us some directions here?
Unfortunately, we don't have a booth this year at the
So they have to find you.
World Ag Expo, yeah.
They've got to corner you and really
I've already ran into several of our employees here. we tend to go out in masses into the individual side, or I guess the networking side of hitting the World Ag Expo on foot rather. And
I imagine there's probably no better place to do that than here this week.
Yeah, you touch a lot of people just on foot here, and it is nice to have a booth at times. This year we chose not to. So.
Well, and sorry, I should have asked you that ahead of time. But while I have you here, you're an expert on the World Ag Expo. So there's your side of it where you are networking, you're making sure you're connecting to people who you might do business with. For a lot of the people, it's, hey, I'm going to come, I'm going to take advantage of the free parking, I'm going to pay my $15 at the gate, I'm going to go get a bunch of giveaway products from a lot of these companies, and I'm going to eat some really good food. So for you, is there a go-to that year after year after year you have to make sure you get at least once in the 3 days here at the World Ag Expo?
I would say that for me, the tri-tip over here, just right next to us, to the south of us here. For
you the mean boy, where the big boys, sign 30 feet in the air says
yeah,
tri-tip?
Yeah, tri-tip, the Boys okay. and Girls Club there. If it was my wife's choice, she'd make sure she hits the kettle corn on the way a little further south towards the Dairy Pavilion. And then if it was my kid's choice, it would definitely be the ice cream booth for CVC and support the school there.
Do they have a peach cobbler there, or is this all ice cream?
They don't have peach cobbler. They don't, but they do have a number of ice cream selections that you could choose from.
A little Cavalier sherbet over there? We'll have to check that out.
Possibly.
See if our friend Ryan Colburn, the former Bulldog quarterback, is hanging out over there with his CVC brethren. He went in the CVC Hall of Fame this year.
Did he really?
He did.
I did not
he
know
did.
That.
Yep, same day as one of our football games. His former coach, Pat Hill, will be here in a little bit. The new coach, Kalen DeBoer, will be here shortly. I'm going to have you draw out directions to where that kettle corn is, because I think my wife's going to want some of that too, and I'll take it back to her today. What would someone who's never been to the World Ag Expo be surprised by when they come this year, other than this beautiful weather? That's probably the best Ag Expo weather ever.
Yeah, typically it's raining.
You're right?
Yeah, typically it's raining. I wish we had some more rain. We're definitely in need of that right now. I think just the massive number of equipment vendors that are out here, the support from the community, let alone the state, let alone nationally and globally, the individuals that are here, that are looking to represent what they have to offer in this agricultural community. It's a very large but very small world at the same time. It's amazing how many people that you run into that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say that it's probably it blows my mind the amount of vendors that are here every year in the equipment side and the progressive look towards what's the new up and coming precision farming application or a piece of equipment or the new opportunity with a product that they're trying to peddle or whatever it is. It's a pretty neat environment, and it's a very, very welcoming environment as compared to what you'd find maybe at other other showcases when you're dealing with the ag world. It's a family atmosphere for sure.
No question. And the technology really is stunning. Every year there's something new and something that just raises your eyebrows a little bit. Eric, great to talk to you. I do have one more question for you, for mm-hmm. Eric Neese from Helena Agri Enterprises, since you said you're a Fresno State graduate. Coming up on Thursday, I believe. We've got a bunch of guests today, tomorrow, and Thursday. On Thursday, we're going to have Dr. Dennis Neff, who's the Dean of the Jordan College of Agricultural Science and Technology at Fresno State, as well as a couple of his faculty members. I know it's been a few years since you graduated from Fresno State, but what has been the value or impact of that Fresno State education for your career in ag?
Well, I'd have to say it was the hands-on piece of what we learned on a day-to-day basis on the farm, and I know it's neat to watch and listen to my daughter as she comes out of Cal Poly with that same opportunity as the hands-on learning piece of what she's gathering. But Fresno State definitely offers that opportunity in the ag department to give you that real hands-on experience and help you gain a foothold and a foundation to what you're about to receive once you hit that field running, you know, after graduation, post-graduation. And I was very fortunate of that. I was very fortunate of having the opportunity to utilize the avenue of internships through mm-hmm. Fresno State, and that's how I got connected with the Helena group. And I think I maximized the efficiency when it came to the internship side of it for about 3 years and really gained a foothold and a foundation to make sure I established my craft as a fieldman out in the industry. And Fresno State was a big part of that.
Awesome. Well, maybe those words are relevant for the next guest we're going to have, one of the high school scholarship winners here at the World Ag Expo this year, Eric Neese, Western Division Manager for Helena Agri Enterprises. Thanks so much for coming out and bringing your family.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the day. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to meet some young people who have been the recipients of this year's We Believe in Growing Scholarship, sponsored by our friends at E.M. Tharp, who are hosting us here at the World Ag Expo. We're with you till 2 o'clock on the radio. Questions for any of our guests, use that hashtag, AskAg. And if you want to win a pair of tickets to Fresno State's baseball opener Friday night, come say hi. You might just walk away with some of them. Back after this from Tulare on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
Day's just flying by, and boy, is it beautiful. Blue skies and sunshine here in Tulare, and we're joined by one of our future leaders here in the Valley, a talented young man from here in Tulare County. He lives in the Lindsay Strathmore area, goes to Strathmore High School, home of the Spartans, where their football coach is a former Bulldog named Jeremy Blackwell. I'm sure Pat Hill's going to have something to say about him here in a little bit. Pat will be with us at 1 o'clock, so will Coach Kalen DeBoer. But right now we have Jacob Martinez. And Jacob, I'm glad you could be with us. I understand today's been a pretty big day for you. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a really big day for me today. I just had to wake up early, and we did a little opening ceremonies for me for my award, so it was really cool.
Now, I want to ask you, because for me, this never gets old. One of the things I love about living in the Valley is sometimes if you're up early in the morning, you can see the sunrise over the Sierra Nevada. And where you live in that Lindsay Strathmore area, you're pretty close to those mountains. What's it look like when you wake up in the morning?
It's beautiful, honestly. I love waking up every morning just to be able to see the sunrise over those mountains. It's awesome. I don't know, just little things like that we take for granted. That's so awesome for me. So
you said your award. Now, you're one of two high school students this year awarded the We Believe in Growing Scholarship. That happens every year here at the World Ag Expo, thanks to our friends at E.M. Tharp, who sponsor that scholarship each and every year. So how'd you win that scholarship? What'd you have to do to pull that off? And I believe it's Is it $2,500?
Yeah, it's $2,500 for each year over 4 years, so it's a $10,000 total. And so basically it's just an interview, it's a application and interview process. So 39 applied, or 38 applied, and then they chose 16 to interview. And then out of those 16, they evaluate them, and they just decide the top two, and then they let you know that night. So I completed my application and turned it in. They emailed me back for an interview, so I went to my interview and I asked them, when will we be able to know? And they'll be like, if you receive a call, you probably got it. If you got an email, you probably didn't. And I was outside with my pigs, because I show pigs, and I was just walking them, and I got a call from Tulare, and I just was like, whoa, what's happening? And I was, and they called me, and they're like, oh, you got the scholarship, so I was really happy.
How'd your pigs feel about it?
Probably not too good. I just ran, and they got really scared, so.
So, how long have you been showing livestock, by the way?
I've been showing since I was 9 years old. So like I told you how I moved to Lindsay 9 years ago. I used to live in Visalia, and I was a really, really like big city guy. Like I didn't touch animals. I didn't do anything with animals. And we went to Ventura Fair to go celebrate my sister's birthday. And I saw them showing the pigs, and I was like, hey, Dad, I think this is something that I want to do. I want to try this out. And he's always wanted to live in the country and have animals. So I was kind of an excuse for him to convince my mom to move. So we moved in. Got some animals, and it's grown from there. So yeah,
that's really exciting to hear. And so now, because of your big award this morning, you've got $10,000 over the next 4 years to use on college. Mm-hmm. Any particular college where you're hoping to use that?
Fresno State. I plan on going to Fresno State to major in ag business. So that's my goal right now. So.
And then what? What do you think you want that degree to turn into for you?
I plan on coming back home to my community and hopefully starting my own farming operation, maybe livestock, maybe crops. I don't know yet. I just know that that's what I want to do so far.
We lost you there for a second from Tulare, and I will need to apologize to Jacob Martinez, who is sharing us his future plans once he uses that We Believe in Growing scholarship sponsored by E.M. Tharp to attend Fresno State and major in ag business. He wants to have his own farming operation. And as I heard you talk about it, Jacob, I'm struck by how, I don't know if it's unique, but it's definitely rare. It is certainly on that unique end of the spectrum, because I think a lot of the folks who end up working in ag grew up in ag or around ag. And you told us how you went to the fair in Ventura and saw people showing animals, told your family you wanted to do that. Your dad moves your whole family out into the country.
Yeah.
So you guys have been doing that now. What's been the most exciting or eye-opening thing you've experienced in these few years now that you've been involved in the world of ag?
So growing up, I showed pigs, and it was more closed off to the livestock side. And then when I got into high school, I joined FFA, and that really opened my eyes to the options or the variety of things you can do in agriculture. So, and then going to all these conferences and all these tours that I'm going on and seeing the passion of other people and just learning that agriculture is the biggest industry in the world, and it will always be needed. As the population grows, so will demand in the agriculture industry. And so life depends on agriculture, if you really know what I mean. So I just want to be a part of that.
And I can't let you go without asking you, since you've been here for a few hours now, what is the coolest thing you've seen today? Other than that $10,000 scholarship, what's the coolest thing you've seen today at the World Ag Expo?
The coolest thing, just everything, all the big tractors, the way they use them demonstrating and everything. Just like there was this one tractor that was like separating and grinding this dirt stuff, and it was just really cool. So,
well, thanks for coming over. Congratulations on winning the scholarship. I think we can all tell why you were one of the ones chosen, and we'll look forward to seeing you around Fresno State. You going to come to some ball games?
Yeah.
Would you like to go to the baseball season opener Friday night, 6 o'clock against UC Irvine?
I would, but I have to be at a jackpot show. I'll be showing this weekend in Paso Robles.
Duty calls. Okay, so you'll be showing and listening to us on the radio.
Yeah, I will.
Fair enough. Jacob Martinez from Strathmore High School, We Believe in Growing scholarship winner. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll meet Frank Pucher from Fresno State Athletics. Whenever you see that Pride of the Valley sign, well, he's going to tell us where that came from. Frank will join us when we come back. If you've got questions for any of our guests today, use that hashtag on Twitter, AskAg. And we're back after this from Tulare in the World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
I tell you, the weather's still perfect out here in Tulare, so if you're not here yet, you might want to head on over. Parking is free. Admission is $15. The World Ag Expo continues tomorrow and Thursday, and we're going to be here tomorrow and Thursday. A great lineup of guests to share with you. Even today, coming up at 1 o'clock, Caitlin DeBoer, the new Bulldog football coach, is going to be here. Pat Hill's going to be up here with us, too, and he's over hanging out with our friends from the California Highway Patrol right now, right next to E.M. Tharp, where we're located. At 1:30, Tom Mendoza, one of the all-time baseball greats at Fresno State, will be here. Opening night for the Bulldog Baseballers. The Diamond Dogs is Friday night. Softball team has its home opener Friday as well. And one guy who keeps track of all of that is Frank Pucher, Fresno State. Frank, I hear that when we see this beautiful Peterbilt truck to our right that says Pride of the Valley there under the checkerboard, or actually it's right behind us if you turn around, that big green V in Pride of the Valley, that came from you?
In a way. The message or the words Pride of the Valley have been around for a long time. Of course, the green V started with Pat Hill, who I see out there in the crowd as well. That's been around Fresno State for a long, long time. So that, you know, that doesn't come from me. I think what we did this, but just about a year ago now, is we looked at ways to perhaps reinvent ourselves or to recommit ourselves to what it truly means and what that V represents. And that's what we look to do under the leadership of Terry Toomey and the rest of our staff. You know, we kind of thought, what does Fresno State Athletics have to get out there in the community? What is our message? What is our brand? And it all goes back to that green V and what it represents and what it stands for. And from there, we just dreamed up new ideas or new opportunities to message that differently and connect with our audience differently, to re-put our stamp on what we truly feel matters in this valley, and that's the people. And that's a lot of what you see today, the ag industry, hardworking, blue-collar people who really, no matter what their background is or what their race, religion, or credo, or whatever it may be, we all want the best for our communities, and we all pull the rope in the same direction. And that's what we see Pride of the Valley meaning. That's what we see that green V representing, is the people and the spirit and the hard work and instilling hope and inspiring youth and generations to come for what our athletes and what our institution represent.
And, you know, there was a big splash last year when you came out with this Pride of the Valley, and the way you did it was signs that people could put in front of their houses. And I don't know about you, but it was just everywhere I drove for a while, I would see one of those signs. What's the most unique spot in the valley that you've seen a Pride of the Valley sign?
Well, actually, that's a good one. So we had I had a lunch, actually, with the Shannon brothers, who, of course, are the generous donors of our equipment truck here to our right. But we had a lunch, and we came down to them down here. Actually, we met in Kingsburg. It was about halfway in between both Fresno State's campus and the Shannon Brothers' location. They just picked a random spot. It was a little Mexican place, and we went there. And walking in, they had a Pride of the Valley sign in their front window. And so I asked the waitress we had that day, and she said that, you know, it was her restaurant. She owned the restaurant. Both of her daughters went to Fresno State. Just she truly appreciated and loved everything that Fresno State did for their family. And that was powerful to us because we weren't looking for it. It wasn't an athletics event or theme thing. It was just a random lunch, you know, 40 minutes south of campus, and there it was, and it touched their lives, and that was special to us.
Well, this is a big valley, so I know those signs are here, there, and everywhere. And another element to the whole Pride of the Valley idea last year, and this connection with the Green V and this giant agricultural juggernaut that we're sitting on top of here in the fertile soil of the San Joaquin Valley, you have 6 football home games every fall. And this last year, people could buy some things on those game nights that they couldn't buy every other game night, and it all tied in to the world of ag. So I know one night you had the sweet corn featured. There was a wine deal at the end of the year, I think nuts and pistachios. What do I miss? Beef? We had the tri-tip?
We had beef in there. We had raisins in there. Yeah. We had just citrus industry in general as well with some different options. But, you're spot on. And that's something that, you know, kind of came together for us last year in the midst of our, you know, our busy efforts. It's something we definitely want to take to another level this coming year and in the future. Again, ag is not going anywhere in this valley. Fresno State as an institution is not going anywhere in this valley. So the two married together only make sense. And it's our job in athletics to find ways that we could promote that and bring value to that ag industry in our valley, and then bring value to our fan base as well. So looking for opportunities or ideas like that at our home games. We want to spice up the pregame fan fest. We want to bring more to our tailgate scene. We want to be able to offer in venue, in our stadiums, the amazing locally grown products that you just mentioned. I mean, we have it all right here, some of the best in the world. Why not make that available to our fans inside Bulldog Stadium?
So I know it's not even Valentine's Day yet, although it's coming. Remember, everybody, Friday night, and why don't you take your Valentine to Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium, catch a little Fresno State baseball season opener, by the way. I'm going to give away some tickets if someone walks up here and asks for them to our E.M. Tharp set here at the World Ag Expo. So, Frank, I know it's not quite Valentine's Day yet, and September's a long way off, but what should we expect with regard to that idea and showcasing some of our great agricultural products at Bulldog football games? Any sneak preview for what we can expect in the fall?
Yeah, great question. We're continuing to work through that with our in-stadium concessionaire about how we could bring the two together. One thing I think we can commit to right now, like you said, it's not even quite Valentine's Day, is the spirit of doing so, and then an expanded version of our pregame fan fest. You know, last year, as you mentioned, we introduced a wine fest that last game of the year. We had some other opportunities as well, but we actually met last week as a staff, and we're going to continue those meetings about how do we provide an atmosphere in and around Bulldog Stadium, whether that's in Biden Field pregame, whether that's over by soccer lacrosse, wherever that may be, about really what you see here today, all this equipment, these trucks, these great people, the food, an opportunity for the Valley and the great residents of the Valley and the ag industry to showcase their hard work every day and to showcase those products, those experiences, bring in live entertainment to aid in that as well. But we will have some sort of pregame fan fest in that capacity, highlighting different ag products, all six home games. So that would be the big one we could talk about right now. But, look for those items in stadium as well. That'll happen.
And I know you and your department are always brainstorming crazy ideas, and everybody would love to see, you know, Bulldog Stadium renovated and improved, and maybe naming rights are a part of that. So since the middle of the field and that brand new turf that was installed this year is green, and the sides, at least the concrete part, is kind of a lighter color gray, could you shape those a little bit to look like a pistachio shell, and the field would be the nut in the middle, and you could get a pistachio sponsorship for naming rights?
It makes perfect sense. I think we absolutely could do so. Pat Hill is out here. I see him shaking. Yes, no, he's thinking about it.
He loves pistachios. You hear him crunching them sometimes on our broadcast.
Listen, if you're trying to think of a way to marry ag and the sports world together, that's the guy right there. He's thought of every idea. I'm sure there's more in his mind right now. But no, it's a great point, and that's one thing that, you know, I know you were saying it a little bit facetiously, but Terry Toomey and Tim Collins and our fundraising crew, they're out every day looking for those types of opportunities, and wouldn't surprise me if something were to happen in the future.
Well, we'll look forward to that. What are the priorities as you look ahead? You know, because you're thinking about the here and now and the teams that you have right now, but I know you're thinking down the road as well. Can you help us see a vision for what isn't yet but could be with regard to Fresno State Athletics and how we as the people of the Valley all connect to it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like we said, and the unique thing and the thing that drew me to this opportunity and probably has, you know, drawn fans to this opportunity for years is that we are uniquely positioned as a group of five, currently group of five institution.
Sorry we lost you there for a second, but we're still here under beautiful blue skies in Tulare at the World Ag Expo, the largest annual agricultural exposition in the world. We were talking to Frank Putra, and I said I had one more question, so I wanted you to hear it. There's a lot of Bulldog events going on, but a big one at the Save Mart Center tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And were you planning this in conjunction with the World Ag Expo, that you wear green like the green V, you get in free?
You know, it kind of happened that way, and I would like to take the credit for it, but that's unfortunately not the case. But, no, our women's basketball team's having an amazing season. Coach Jamie White and her team are prime position to win the conference championship tomorrow, the regular season conference championship tomorrow night inside the Save Mart Center. Like you mentioned, wear green and you get in free. There was just a young lady in front of us here who actually wore that shirt here today, so hopefully she has another one for tomorrow night. But, no, it's a great opportunity. We hope to fill that place. If you're listening, come on out. It's a great program. They're incredibly exciting to watch, and they could leave tomorrow night with a championship. So please come out and support them.
Well, thanks for coming out here to Tulare today, Frank. Thanks for what you're doing, and we look forward to the future.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Frank Putcher, Senior Associate Athletic Director at Fresno State. The list goes on. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have Kalen DeBoer and Pat Hill with us. I might need a bodyguard for that segment. But right now, we welcome in all the way from our nation's capital via the phone one of our Valley representatives who is certainly ingrained in the world of agriculture and the world of the Fresno State Bulldogs, his alma mater, Congressman Jim Costa of Fresno joins us now on the phone. Jim, are you wearing one of those Bulldog sweatshirts that you've had for a few years right now or no? You know, we have the congressman on hold, and maybe he was summoned by somebody else in the party leadership. But we'll try to take a quick break here and get him back on the line so we can talk some Bulldog sports with Jim. I know he's a big Bulldog fan. And get his view on where ag is going, what legislation might impact it. Tomorrow we're going to do the same thing with Devin Nunes from the Republican side. But we have a Bulldog alum and Congressman Jim Costa. Should be back on the line with us when we come right back from Tulare in the World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
Yep, back here right in front of the sign that says Pride of the Valley, and I look over there, I see Fresno State's new football coach, Kalen DeBoer, and a guy who spent 15 years as the football coach, Pat Hill. We're going to hear from them at the top of the hour. But until then, we have the pleasure of catching up with Congressman Jim Costa, going to talk a little ag and a little of his beloved Fresno State Bulldogs. Jim, I'm curious, what are your earliest Fresno State Bulldog memories?
Oh, gee, Paul. First of all, let me thank you. Go Dogs, of course, and we got a lot of reminiscing to do. But let me thank you for not only being the voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs, but also such an advocate on behalf of our veterans in California and throughout the country. What are we now, on the 19th honor flight, and or the 20th? I've lost track. I think I've been almost to every
one.
Yeah,
just had the 20th and going for 21 in April. In fact, we've got a board meeting a little later today. But
well,
and
you've done a terrific
that,
job, and your board
you
is to be
support.
Commended. Those are, you know, such an important contribution to veterans who have served our country. And you know, I just can't thank you and the board enough. It's really a reflection of our valley. Talk about valley pride. That each trip is over $100,000, I know, and you think about 20 of those and you do the multiplication, it's really it says a lot about your efforts and the board's efforts and the support for our veterans.
Well, it is. You just hit the nail on the head. It's about the people of the valley, what they care about, the respect they have for our veterans, and you've always modeled that anytime you're around our honor flights, and I know you make it a priority here in NDC, and we really appreciate that. So thanks again for all you do. And I know, you know, you're not looking for attention on this, but you spearheaded an effort to have you and your congressional colleagues on both sides of the aisle buy a meal for our veterans when they're in D.C. each and every trip. And I think that's a really cool twist that I know means a lot to our veterans. So thanks for that contribution over and over again.
Well, they deserve it, and our staff always looks forward to working with your folks to make sure that we clear the way to make it as accessible for our veterans to tour the monuments and the memorials and to be at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, which is always a treat, and everything else that we can possibly do to put the red carpet out. This is, of course, our nation's capital. It belongs to every veteran who's there, and for some of them, it's maybe the first visit they've ever made, so it's really terrific.
Well, that's a Bulldog red carpet. You're right. And I know you love talking about veterans. You love talking about the Bulldogs. There have been some other things people in Washington have wanted you and other representatives to talk about lately. But I know you also spend a lot of time thinking and talking and working on behalf of agriculture here in the San Joaquin Valley. So what are some of the things that are happening legislatively, and maybe what are you looking forward to in terms of things that can help the world of ag, things that can benefit our valley?
Well, the Tulare International World Ag Expo is the fitting and appropriate place to have this conversation as we do throughout the year. It's a lot of talk about folks' hard work. I remember when the Ag Expo was in its infancy at the Tulare Fairgrounds. And my, has it grown with its own venue, and what a terrific job everybody does. I'm sorry this year I missed it because we're in session, so I can't be there in person. But the next best thing is to be with you on KMJ Radio, which is not only the voice of our Fresno State Bulldogs, which I want to get to before the end of this interview, because I have my earliest memories that I can share with you. but also the importance of California agriculture and our American agriculture that has been through some difficult times here in recent years. You know, as a third generation family farmer, and as many people know, that's still my primary source of income is our family farm out at Kearney Park. American farmers, California farmers, are focused on a host of issues. But in the Valley, I think the three most important issues that we deal with are water, are a reliable water supply, a reliable workforce dealing with immigration reform, and trade. Now, there are other issues that are very important that are regulatory and impact our Valley's agriculture. But we start from the perspective that food in America is a national security issue. It doesn't get often looked that way, but I try to remind people as the chairman of the Livestock and Foreign Agricultural Subcommittee that, in fact, this is everyday American farmers and farm workers work so hard to put food on America's dinner table every night. And we take it for granted. And sadly, the majority of Americans think that their food comes from a grocery store or a restaurant. And of course, we know they may get their food at a grocery store or a restaurant, but it comes from the heartland of our valley and throughout the country. And we've had some good news here of late. In the last several months, after you know, several years of negotiation, we got the United States Mexico-Canadian trade agreement passed, and the president signed it into law over a week ago. And that's going to portend well for U.S. and California agriculture. 44% of the agricultural that we produce in California is dependent upon trade. And so we think that we do a lot of shipment of dairy products to Mexico. Canada is the number one importer of California wines. And, of course, as we know, it's an incredible story, about $50 billion at the farm gate, depending upon farm commodity products. Half the world's or half the nation's fruits and vegetables, number one in you know, citrus production, number one in dairy production. 70% of the world's almond production, 50% of the world's pistachios. It goes on and on and on with between 300 and 400 commodities that we grow and produce. Nobody does it any better than the California farmer. And so it's a great story. This effort combined with Ambassador Lighthizer, with the U.S. United States Trade Ambassador, that made a breakthrough on these Chinese trade and negotiations will, I think, result in the purchase of more products by China. I don't know if the number that the president cited, $200 billion, is going to be doable. And, of course, right now we've got a lot of products that are in ports in China because of this epidemic with the coronavirus. So I was just told that a major poultry producer in my area, my district, just sent many boatloads of chicken products to China, and they're sitting there at port right now because they can't unload because of the quarantine that's in place. How long that will last and how much it will impact our ability to export California ag products, we hope will be a short duration because obviously reopening those markets and hopefully China committing to the purchases that they made in the trade negotiation will come forth. But that's the good news there. The other good news on a reliable workforce, we worked very hard last year. And by the way, that was bipartisan. 380 votes that passed the USMCA trade agreement. You know, we don't get 380 votes like that out of 435 on a lot of big items. And it had overwhelming bipartisan support on both sides of the aisle, which was good news for everyone.
Well, I think everyone's excited about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to jump in there, Jim, but I'm running short on time because I've got Pat Hill and Kalen DeBoer, who, if you want to say anything,
people want
to
hear them more than they want to hear me. Let me just say on the farm labor issue quickly, we've got another bipartisan bill that came out of the House last December. It's over in the Senate. We're working on it. It would provide legal status for seasonal and year-round farm workers, and we think that we might be able to get that across the finish line over the Senate. We're working hard on it to maintain that bipartisan effort. Having a reliable workforce is critical, and these people who work so hard in the fields and so much of our ag producing areas, it's the right thing to do, and we're going to stay with that. And then finally on water, I'm working very closely with our federal water users and our state water users to see if we can get an agreement on the voluntary agreements, the new biological opinions, which will make a difference if we're going to ever try to see if we can comply with SGMA. But I spend every day working on water-related issues, and we've got a group here this week from the Valley that we're working on the things. We got a chance to fix the Plant Kern Canal. I've got legislation on the Delta Mendota Canal and the California Aqueduct. So that's my report to you on the three big issues of water, trade, and the farm worker legalization effort.
Well, and we'll have to talk Bulldog Sports the next time I run into you.
Well, let me
that's
just
always
give you
enjoyable
one quick,
anyway.
One quick yeah. memory, Paul. I was eight years old. My sister was going to Fresno State, and Cecil Coleman had a 10-0 record. I think we were voted number one in small colleges in America. And sadly, after the plane crash with Cal Poly, they had a Mercy Bowl that played in the UC Coliseum. And we played, Fresno State played Bowling Green. And there's still some of that great 1960-61 team that played in the Mercy Bowl that raised money for Cal Poly. And that was my earliest memory of Fresno State Bulldogs. And there were a lot of other of my boyhood heroes who did terrific throughout those years. And we're still, you and I, cheering on those Bulldogs. And we'll have to talk some more about that.
Look forward to it. Thanks for taking some time for us today. And safe travels when you come back to our Great Valley this week.
Keep up the good work, Paul. Thank you so very much.
All right. That's Congressman Jim Costa live from Washington, D.C. Tomorrow, Devin Nunes will join us as well. And when we come back, two pretty impressive football coaches are here. If you've got some questions for us, tweet them our way with the hashtag AskAg. Have you followed Pat Hill on Twitter yet? That's a trick question. He's not there yet. But maybe someday that would get a lot of follows. You can come ask Coach Hill in person here at the World Ag Expo. And your new Fresno State Bulldog head coach, Kalen DeBoer, is here as well. You'll hear from both of them when we come back to the World Ag Expo in Tulare on 940 ESPN. Hey, 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 why wait? Coach Pat Hill and Coach Kalen DeBoer are here with us here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, right in front of the big sign that says Pride of the Valley and that big rig Peterbilt from the Shannon Brothers here at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated and Golden State Peterbilt exhibit in Tulare. I got to start with you, Coach DeBoer. What was your first impression, the first time you got to meet the owner of the Fu Manchu, the shut up and hit somebody, the anyone, anytime, anywhere guy, Pat Hill? What was your first impression?
Man, it's as impressive now as it was then. So he's welcome in anytime up in our offices. I know that. I'd be foolish not to have a guy that knows as much football, knows as much about Fresno State as he does, not be a part of what we're doing up here.
Coach Hill, how you been?
I'm doing great. And yeah, it was a lot of traffic here. There's a lot of trucks. A lot of trucks parked out there. And, you know, as Kalen comes from farming communities.
Uh-huh.
And he'll do such a great job bridging the community with agriculture. I mean, he'll do a great job with it. I'm really excited about him being here with his background. And, you know, he's from a farming community. So he's been around this. We were talking earlier about the big tractors he used to drive as a kid all day. So he'll be able to relate to a lot of the people on the west side and all over the valley. It'll be great. Because this is what makes Fresno State so important is the agriculture. And the young students that come out of our ag program that go back and help out in the ag field. So many ag graduates. And, you know, that's the big wheel that keeps it turning.
Well, and everybody knows, but I'm going to say it again, you saw that connection. You saw the parallels. You saw the value in tying Fresno State athletics to the world of agriculture when you came up with that Green V And just that symbol has done as much for Fresno State athletics as I think anything has this century.
And it could grow. It could get even bigger. It got sort of halted years ago. It got slowed down. But that thing will grow because that's a great symbol that we can stand behind. And I got the idea from Hayden Fry at Iowa, where he had America Needs Farmers, ANF, on the helmets. And that's where I got the idea when I came here in 1997.
Well, the rest is history. And now the guy who is the caretaker of that history and the future of the Bulldog program, Kalen DeBoer, hasn't coached a game yet as the head coach of Fresno State, was the offensive coordinator here for 2 years, left and helped Indiana to a breakthrough season in the Big Ten as the offensive coordinator there. Now he's back here in the Valley. And have you ever been to the World Ag Expo before, or is this the first time?
This is the first time. And finding a spot to park was a little interesting. So that's a good thing, though, right?
Very good thing. And I'm just curious. Your hometown, again, is Milbank?
Yeah, Milbank. It's only about 4,000 people, but I did grow up on a farm pretty much until right around high school. And I can't believe what my dad allowed me to do at those young ages, driving those big tractors. And, you know, a lot of me says I can get in there and roll with one right now, but I know the technology's changed so much. Probably a little behind the times now.
Well, I think we could probably make that happen.
No.
And I asked you about, you know, your hometown of Milbank, South Dakota, because I'm thinking there's probably more people here at the World Ag Expo right now than you had in your hometown.
Oh, for sure. Yeah? For sure, there definitely is. Yeah.
And, you know, we're here at Golden State Peterbilt and E.M. Tharp, but right across this little pathway here, there's a Massey Ferguson booth, and they'll let you get on that tractor and try to move stuff around with it.
All right, look out.
If you really want to show your skills.
We need to clear the place out a little bit before that happens.
Sign the waiver. But in all, you know, reality, growing up on a farm in South Dakota, what were the things you had to do? What do you look back on now and say, you know, that was tough, but I'm really glad I got to do that?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm, and so there was a lot with the hay, a lot with you know, feeding the cattle, and I just think about like the football piece. It always comes back to football, you know, and the core strength and the things you know throwing hay bales and carrying you know, big old pails of corn, you know, ground corn and all that, you know, doing that from the time I was probably six or seven and until, you know, I was into my high school years for sure, and so. You know, some of those things and just the hard work you put in and you knew all those bales had to get up in the barn and there was only one person who was going to do it. And I think that's a lot of what athletics is about, you know, when you're putting in that time and that's what it was all about growing up and kind of learning that work ethic.
I'm just assuming that by that time, because you're such a young man, that all the milking was automated.
Yeah, but you attached them all on your own. You know, you put we weren't in a parlor, so we had to put the belt over the cows and hook up the milkers and here we go. So it was not the operation that I've been hearing a lot about and can't wait to see, you know, out here in the Valley. You know, some of these operations, you know, 5,000 cattle and some of those are a little bit beyond what I can even kind of think about. You know, we had, you know, 150 to 200, but yeah, it was all manual, you know, kind of attaching them and here we go. So, and then, you know, a lot of the things that happen out there in the Midwest are things you don't really think about, you know, what happens when the whole place shuts down because you got a snowstorm coming through and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, every area of the country has its own battles and things that they're fighting. And of course, we got different ones here.
Pat Hill, you ever milked a cow?
Never. Never milked a cow. But, you know, I've been through this thing before a few years ago. I was sort of surprised by, because of the heat here, they got milking stations with misters and everything else to keep the cattle. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these cattle have better lives than some people, I bet you, until they stop milking. And then their life's not too good after that.
Pat Hill, the only one who can say it that way. And that's why we love hearing him on the football broadcast this fall, right? We're going to have a lot of fun talking about Coach DeBoer's team. I got to ask you, Pat, when Coach DeBoer talked about being on the dairy farm growing up and tossing bales of hay, who were you thinking of?
Logan Mankins.
I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah, Logan Mankins, I know when he came, he wasn't as big as he got, but you know, when we went in the weight room, he didn't really know the specifics of lifting, but he was stronger than everybody else. There's two types of strength. There's weight room strength and there's functional strength, and I'd rather have those functionally strong guys.
So, Coach DeBoer, first time head coach at this level, yep. but not your first time as a head coach. People yep. who know you know that you won 3 national championships in NAIA football at your alma mater, University of Sioux Falls. What, as you look forward to having spring ball here in a few weeks and then obviously your big debut in September as the head coach mm-hmm. of the Bulldogs, what are the focal points? What are the things you feel have to happen between now and then to have the kind of season you believe this program's capable of?
Well, I think we got the staff now in place, and so it's a matter of connecting with the staff, connecting with the players, and we're just into week 4 right now with the off season, and still trying to get some guys healthy from last year, which is important, and really pleased with the mindset. I think that's probably the biggest thing is the guys' mindset right now. I don't think they necessarily have their tail between their legs a little bit, but we got to develop that confidence, get that back like we had. A lot of those injured guys that were out are the key guys that bring a lot of that confidence and that poise. So getting them back here in the weeks, months ahead, is certainly important. And, learning the systems, and really it's more on the defensive side. We're going to learn a new system, and offensively, really entering year 4, because it goes back to 2017. So, those guys, I'm asking a lot out of them right now to be their best. You can't compare yourself to where you're at against the defense as we go into spring ball. It's about them being their best and challenging themselves, and then and the defense learning the new terminology. Football's football. And so at some point, once the terminology clicks and they're like, okay, this was what this was called a year ago, and then getting a feel for, how Coach Inge and how the defensive staff will, kind of make the game flow, and how they call it in certain moments and situations, that'll be critical. So. We got to keep gelling and just a lot of communication and trusting each other, and we're going to build that mindset and to where when those critical moments come, we know what our response is going to be to adversity.
You brought up the defense and your coordinator football and some professional football. Your 2 years here as the offensive coordinator, Fresno State had an incredible defense both of those years. How much did that help your offense knowing what was happening on the other side of the ball?
Yeah, it was huge. And, one of the things that was kind of unique those 2 years that I was here was the D coordinators were in the box with me. And I really hadn't had that anywhere I'd been. And so calling a game offensively really was interesting, because you aren't just going by what you see, but you could also go by what you hear. And, Orlando Steinauer and Bert Watts calling the game defensively, I could really get a feel of, hey, they got this one in check. They got these guys under control. And, I think as an offensive coordinator, your job's to, win the football game. And once you got it won, get out of there as fast as you can. Try to shorten the game and put the pressure back on the other team's offense. And we were able to pin our ears back as a defense and get after people. So I think it's important to play that team game. That's what we're going to continue to do. It's Ryan Grubb's job to, as an offensive coordinator, to feel that and, get a lead so our defense can do what they do. And we want to be aggressive and attack and on defense as well. So give those guys that chance to do that.
Hope this doesn't sound like a dumb question, but did you two hear the news about the leader of that defense those 2 years, Jeff Allison? He got signed by the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
No,
he's
going to
play in the CFL.
Okay. Good. He's with Orlando.
Exactly, with Orlando Steinauer, who is the defensive coordinator here and now is the head coach in Hamilton.
That guy was a hammer. I've been around Fresno State football since 84, starting with Jim Sweeney as an assistant. And there were a lot of good linebackers come through, don't get me wrong, and not to slight any of them. He might have been the best inside backer I've seen here.
Yeah, he's impressive. I just saw him a couple days ago, and, it must have just recently
happened. Just happened today.
Okay, there we go.
Exciting for him.
Yeah.
And you just said hammer, Pat. That reminds me that George Helmuth. The Hammer Helmuth is going to be here Thursday talking to us here at the World Ag Expo. I see a couple of former Bulldog baseball players over here that are going to join us in a bit. But we have Coach DeBoer and Coach Hill, an embarrassment of riches, for the next 15 minutes. So if you've got a question for him, you've got to throw it our way on Twitter. Don't worry. Coach will never read it. He's not on Twitter, at least not Coach Hill. Coach DeBoer. Have you picked up some Twitter followers since taking this job?
Oh, I think so.
I think there's probably a few. All right. I'll stop picking on Pat. We'll have some fun when we come back. If you've got some questions, throw them our way on Twitter with that hashtag AskAg. More from the beautiful World Ag Expo at the International Agri Center in Tulare on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
I'll tell you, this day is just cruising on by. We've been with you since 11. We'll be on from 11 to 2 tomorrow and Thursday. A great lineup of guests for you here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. And right now, two of my favorite guys, Kalen DeBoer and Pat Hill, Fresno State football coaches past and present. If you've got questions for them, you can tweet them our way with the hashtag AskAg. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we can talk a little baseball with a couple of former Diamond Dogs who are standing over here, and they kind of look like they work in the world of ag. I don't know if I'm buying it yet. We're going to have to ask them when they come and join us on the microphone, and we'll talk about that in a bit. Here's one that came in on Twitter with that hashtag AskAg. Josh points out, hey, it's pretty cool for the Dogs to be playing the Aggies this year in College Station. He hopes to make it to that game. Two schools with big-time roots in agriculture, Fresno State and Texas A&M. You inherited that schedule, as of course, Coach DeBoer. But how exciting is it for you to channel a little Pat Hill, anyone, anytime, yeah, any place, and go play those guys?
That's exactly what I was thinking before you said it. So, it'd be certainly a unique experience for our guys. I've never actually been there myself.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
Great place to play.
Yeah.
Plus, you play them in October, you won't have the blistering heat. It was
right. It
was really hot there when we played, and it went triple overtime. It was a long one. Went forever, it seemed.
I'm waiting for a particular name to pop up. Maybe you're going to spare him this time?
No, I'm not even going to bring it up. But the game could have easily been won at many times. It wasn't just that play. And one of our own from down here, Bear Pasco, had a big game that game.
He sure did. He had a great game. And it's going to be fun to be with you calling that game up in the booth, as opposed to you being on the sidelines sweating things out there. Coach DeBoer will have that privilege. And that's going to be different for you, huh, being on the sideline? When's the last time you were on the sideline in a college football game?
2009. So I was from 2000 to 2009, I was on the sideline, both first as a coordinator and then as the head coach and coordinator. So went in the box in 2010, been there ever since. So excited to get back down there and see the fire in the guys' eyes and hear the hits and, you know, be a little closer to all the action.
Well, and you shared earlier your roots in Milbank, South Dakota, growing up on a dairy farm. What was the high school mascot there at Milbank?
Bulldog. I was Bulldog born in a different way, but it rolls off the tongue pretty easy. So of the Milbank Bulldogs. So mascot, very similar. A lot of same features.
Uh-huh. Sounds like it was destiny. And Coach Hill, you know, you and I did all those ball games last year, and there were some tough ones. And I know you could see it was wearing on Coach Tedford, and you're very close with him. And we're happy that he's gotten some help with that heart condition, and he's on the road to recovery. When you heard that Kalen DeBoer was going to be the next Fresno State coach in that position that you know so well and you care so much about, what got you fired up? What did you like about that decision?
Well, just meeting him the 2 years he was here as the offensive coordinator, people will find out he's a very genuine person. He cares about kids. He's got a vast knowledge of football. That's pretty easy to say, but I think he's got the tools it takes to bring this whole valley together again through the agriculture world and do a great job with our students, get those people in the stands. I couldn't be happier. It's going to be great. Jim Sweeney always used to say you got to build a stronger bridge. I said that, Jeff said that, and now it's Kalen's turn to build that stronger bridge. And when his term's done, the next guy'll come in and build a stronger bridge. But right now, we've got the right guy in place to do the things we need to do. And I really feel excited about this team. They will have a chip on their shoulder. I think one of the problems, we used to talk about it last year, we had a lot of guys that won a lot of games, but they were watching it from the sideline.
Yeah.
And when you're watching it from the sideline, it's not exactly like being out there and winning those games. And then two tough losses to SC and Minnesota, I told you, reminded me of those two tough losses we had to Washington and Oregon that year.
That's right.
And we sort of, we never gained that swagger back, you know. It was just sort of, wow, where did it go? And that's when we had to make some wholesale changes in the lineup and play the young kids and move on, get ready for the next year. That was a tough year. But that's sort of the thing that happened.
Yeah.
A lot of the new kids that had come in had been there when everybody was clapping and cheering, but they really, their uniforms were clean, you know.
Well, and for you, Coach DeBoer, I mean, it can't be quite as severe or quite as stark as the contrast you encountered when you came here the first time under Coach Tedford, when that team was coming off a 1-11 year, and here you guys lead them to 10 victories. Does that experience help you in this transition now?
Yeah, it really does. It gives you a lot of confidence that it can be done very quickly, and they had a chance to do that at different spots, stops along the way, personally as well. But I think, you know, the thing I'm hoping that, it's a blessing in disguise, you know, for us this year. And you don't want to have to go through what happened last year, but a lot of guys got more experience. And hopefully the depth and the competition that those guys have had and the experiences they've had, like I said, put a chip on their shoulder, and the chip on their shoulder I know has been talked about a lot by the guys because they didn't get a chance to be a part of the bowl, the bowl season, and had to watch it from home. And that's what's fueling the fire right now in the workouts. And they're trying to remember that when times get tough right now and kind of work through it. But, I'm just I think, the competition that it's created now because we got more depth is something that hopefully makes us better.
And there's one player on this roster that you didn't get to work with in your 2 years here that I saw a lot of last year, and I thought we have to bring up his name here. We're at the World Ag Expo where everyone's trying to figure out how to grow a better crop. And there's a player on this team they call Crop, Dylan Cropper. Mm-hmm. Coach, we saw him before. As exciting as anybody that any team had last year. What are you expecting from him? A Valley born and bred player.
Well, he's really special, not only on the end of rounds and things like that, but, you know, he can catch the ball over the middle. He's got great toughness. He's got great ball awareness. I'd love to see if he can become a punt returner. You know, our punt return game and our kickoff return game, that's an area I think we really need to improve. And if that guy, there's a big difference between returning punts and returning kickoffs. I don't think there's any question he can return kickoffs. I mean, Stephen Baker did it at 150 pounds.
Right.
And that doesn't have anything to do with size. This guy just has an innate ability to see everything around him and his ability to change gears as quickly as he changes gears. He's a special player. Once again, you know, it's just his first year, but there have been some real good slot-type receivers here. He can play out on the outside, too, don't get me wrong. But guys that handle the ball, he might be as good as anyone we've had here. And we've had some great players in that position.
Hey, we even threw a touchdown pass last year, too.
Yeah, he can do it all.
So, Coach DeBoer, Pat brings up the prospect of mainly giving Jalen Cropper a shot at punt returns. What do you think?
Sounds good. Whatever Pat says, we go with. So.
Well, you know, not everybody's a punt returner, though, as we all know. There's some guys that, you know, kickoff return and punt return, I clarified that, are quite different.
You see how he did just that, though, Pat? If he does it and it doesn't work out, now it's your fault.
Yeah. I'll take the blame. I've taken the blame for a lot of things over the years. I mean, it's good. And I didn't have Twitter answers and questions at my show. Those were direct calling shows.
Oh, and those were some doozies.
Oh, boy.
Bringing back some memories. So, Coach DeBoer, I mean, it's almost Valentine's Day. You've got Friday circled for your wife, right?
Well, that's the tough part. I actually dropped her and the kids off at the airport on the way down here. So that's kind of part of the deal, you know, when you make these moves. And the entire staff's kind of going through that. I gave them a couple of days since signing day to go home and see their families. And they've been away for a month and a half almost and get a chance to do that. And a lot of them are, you know, getting their houses ready to put on the market, or maybe even some of them been sold. And so a lot of that stuff that happens away from football that people really don't think about, that's what we're going through. And so drop the kids off the airport, and they're on a plane right now on the way to Salt Lake and then to back to Indiana. So in a month, month and a half, hopefully we'll have them back out here.
That just tells you a little bit about the type of person he is. There's a lot of coaches that I've been with over the years. They didn't give you that opportunity. I mean, I can remember going to one job. I won't even mention it. When I got there, I mean, I had to get a taxi to pick up my wife and the kids at the airport. I mean, we were busy working. So, you know, that's the kind of person he is. They're going to get the work done. I mean, but it's really important to have your staff's families in a good place.
So I know you'll take care of business Valentine's-wise, long distance, and take care of your family there. And then
I really didn't answer your question, did I, about the Valentine's?
No, I don't want
to. We kind of just went off on the –
Well, but – and I bring it up because I know that spring football is right around the corner. So about the time your family's coming back, you'll be right in the thick of spring football. When do you start? When do fans have a chance to take a look at what you have going on?
Yeah, March 16th is going to be our first practice. And we're going to go 5 weeks with a week off in between there for spring break. And April 24th is going to be our spring preview. And it won't be a scrimmage. It won't be a game. We just aren't deep in it'll be a great chance to come out and see our guys, and our guys love having fans in the stands, and not just then, but also this fall. So I know they want to put on a great show anytime that people are around to watch them, and I'm sure they'll do that on the 24th.
We're looking forward to it. Pat Hill, final word. What are you most looking forward to this fall?
I just love watching Bulldog football. I mean, I like to just come up to the office on Monday, see the head coach. I like to go into the staff rooms. I go in and see Kalen and the guys and just loosen people up once in a while. Because a lot of people don't understand the grind of being a coach. And I did it for 42 years. It's a grind, and you're away from your family a lot. It's important just like this little bit of time off and just to have the common sense of how to do things. I don't think we could ask for a better coach here at Fresno State to replace who I think Jeff was doing such a great job. Yeah. And it's good. And I tell you, Jeff's doing really well. I came down here. I was supposed to go to lunch with him today, but I forgot about this, so I had to cancel lunch on him. But I'll get him tomorrow or the next day. But he's
bring
doing
him back
great.
One of those ribeye or tri-tip sandwiches, and he'll be set.
Yeah, he's doing great, and it'll be great, you know, being around Jeff and playing golf and going to the games and going to practice together and just hanging out. It's going to be great. It's great to be able to support a program that you really believe in and really care about.
And Coach DeBoer, anything else you want the Red Wave to hear here in Tulare and all over today?
I just think that I love having, you know, Coach Hill's support and Jeff's as well. And I mean, just him even talked about coming by the office. It's so true. I just remember those days, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, you're sitting there grinding through the film, and he knew that he could just walk in because that's what we needed to have. We needed to have him walk in the door, and
he'd do the same thing at the White House, by the way, just so you know.
So no, we're fired up this fall. I mean, I can't wait. It's great to be back, and you know, coming down that ramp, I just keep thinking about those moments that had happened the 2 years I was here, and can't wait to have that team, our team, coming down the ramp again this fall. We got a lot of work to do between now and then, and our guys are taking it one day at a time, but they know that they're thinking about, you know, making this fall special and making every experience at Bulldog Stadium special.
We'll count on it. And speaking of special experiences, it's been almost 12 years now since one of the greatest moments in Fresno State baseball history, but you're going to hear from one of the guys who did it when we come back. Thanks again, Pat Hill, Kalen DeBoer with us here in Tulare at the World Ag Expo. We're back after this on 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
This day is flying by too fast. Only another 20 minutes or so till we close things out at 2 o'clock. We'll be with you from 11 to 2 tomorrow. And on Thursday, some more outstanding guests will be joining us here. And I'm excited now to talk a little baseball with a couple of former Diamond Dogs. The Diamond Dogs open at home Friday night, Valentine's night, 6:05 against the Anteaters of UC Irvine. I've got four tickets right here if anybody's interested. Maybe these guys are. Two former Bulldogs, two lefties with a whole lot of power, Torin Goldstein and Tom Mendoza. And where did this kettle corn come from? What's this all about?
We heard somebody in the family really likes that type of popcorn. So my boss was following it and said, hey, let's get a little kettle corn for the old wife.
Smart man.
So I get to take this home to my wife.
Yeah, so you're welcome. Happy Valentine's Day.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, John. Rocking the Duarte nursery polo over there today. And so Tom Mendoza, Torin Goldstein, two former ball players who now live and work in the world of ag. Let's start with the old guy over here, Mendoza, Mr. Turlock. 12 years now since Omaha? Does that seem real?
I know. That's what I was telling John. I go, it's been 12 years now. How about that? That sounds cool. Makes me sound. Well, I was 20.
Now you're rocking a full beard. Could you grow that 12 years ago?
Actually, I could grow it probably 15 years ago there. I got the old 40 in me, so we can grow some beards.
There is that stereotype, yeah. So, you know, and you had the incredible College World Series, the incredible run, and we could talk some more about that team. I know people never get tired of reminiscing. you're drafted, you play some pro ball, you continue to play even in independent ball, then you finally made the decision, I'm getting a real job. What was it that said, hey, my future's in ag?
I grew up in it and had a great, within a few days I got home, got approached by John and said, hey, you know, there might be something for you. Just keep in mind, we'll figure it out, you know. It's like, I want to give you time off because you just got, you know, your dreams, you know, everything's coming to an end. So let's figure out the new step in your life. If you like it, let's sit down and talk. And fortunate enough to be approached, you know, and because I had no clue. I mean, my goal was to graduate college, which I ended up finishing in 2017. That was my number one goal, to come back and finish college. That's always been a personal goal. If I didn't get drafted my junior year, I was on track to graduate in 4 years, so I wanted to graduate. And that's just me personally. I didn't want to have a job until I graduated. That's my biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be more kids and more athletes who are fortunate enough to be drafted to come back and finish, because not enough finish. Schooling is huge. Now you see it. It don't matter. I'm a kinesiology major.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with agriculture. I mean, come on, let's get real.
Well, I mean, the science behind how you throw a walnut to hit the tree in the corner
exactly.
of the orchard, maybe.
Works yeah, out. Exactly. You can do it that way, but I wanted to get my degree and got it, and I was fortunate enough to, like I said, John, taking a chance, and now we're rolling with it at Ariana Management Services, buying walnuts, nuts, I mean, whatever you got.
And I know there were days, we saw them in Omaha, where you were seeing the ball like the proverbial grapefruit. Were there ever days where the ball looked like the size of a walnut, or even worse, an almond or pistachio?
That was probably, what did we play, 100 games? No, how many games did we play? We were
78 that year.
78,
yeah.
So let's say 68 of those games where those looked pretty small. I guess right a lot, Paul. Let's go. You know,
was someone banging a drum in the corner?
No.
Were you wearing a wire?
No. That was me making mistakes, not the other guys. Now, we did not do any of that, which is – that could be another topic. That's interesting.
What's well, maybe we'll have some now? Time. I know we're going to revisit 2008, but we have a Bulldog baseball alum of a more recent vintage here as well, Torin Goldstein. Torin, your career here was a little different. You had to overcome multiple injuries
yes.
to really find success your senior year, and you did get your degree from Fresno State as well. And here you are, a guy from Orange County. You decided the Valley is where you wanted
to
stay and
that?
Work?
No, I would have never thought I'd be sitting up here at the Tulare Farm Show talking to you about this. I mean, I grew up in Orange County, and, you know, during the summers where I was injured, I would go out and work on my girlfriend's family farm and mm-hmm. work in the almonds and work in the peaches and the raisins, and I was out there every summer rehabbing, and I'd go to my rehab after working in the fields in the morning, and I fell in love with it. You know, same with Tommy. Tommy has a kinesiology degree. I got my degree in marketing and communications. And, you know, if you're good and you know the people around the ag community, they're very welcoming, just like our baseball community was and the sporting community around Fresno State. And it's a fantastic industry to be in. And I never would have thought I found myself working for a gym supply company who's a trellising manufacturer down in Bakersfield. And I would have never thought I'd find myself working for them. You know, looking back 5 years ago, who would have thought I'd be in ag?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fantastic. I love every second of it, too.
Sounds like you're going to be doing that for a long time.
I am.
In this industry.
Yeah.
Is this your first time, though, to the World Ag Expo?
This is actually my first time. So I've spent all day walking around. I've maybe spent about 5 minutes at our booth. And the rest of the time, I've been walking around, looking at everything, talking to people. Because, I mean, I've been in ag for now 3 years. But really, this is my first job in ag with JSC. And I've been walking around, and there's still so much to learn with all the new technology that's out, everything that's going on in the ag world. I mean, everything's changing. And these people here are fantastic, and they give you a lot of knowledge just talking with them for 5 minutes. So
yeah, there's a lot you can explore and learn and a lot to eat. Thank you again for the kettle corn, Mr. Arellano there. This is my wife and kids are going to love that tonight. Have you eaten any of the food here yet, Tora?
Oh, yeah. Primer, the steak sandwich, the ribeye sandwich.
The ribeye, yeah.
Fantastic, by the way. It's great.
Mm-hmm. You think they could cater those in the dugout at Fresno State?
I wish they would. I mean, we get some fantastic food, but nothing beats that ribeye sandwich. I might go back for a second one pretty soon.
How about you, Tom? Eating anything new this year here?
No.
Just sticking with ribeye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like normal.
Just like you wanted a fastball every time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, don't stray too far from that. I don't throw the curveball. I'll miss that.
So, Torin, how fun was it for you last year to watch so many of your former teammates get the chance to win a Mountain West championship and play in the postseason?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, still all of those guys that I've played with, I talk to on a weekly basis, and to watch them do it on such a high scale at such a high level, it was fantastic watching, because I knew a lot of those guys, and a lot of those guys were same position I was, overcoming injuries, trying to figure out their role on the team, and to watch those guys do so well and go so far in that season, it was fantastic to watch, not only for Coach Batesel, Brian Overland, all those guys. I mean, it was so fun to watch them succeed at that level.
And now the defending Mountain West champs open their season Friday night at home against a team from your hometown, UC Irvine, the Anteaters. What does opening day feel like in a college baseball season? What are the emotions that a ball player goes through?
It's one of the best feelings that a lot of people, you know, don't get to feel. And it's hard to explain and put into words what it feels like, because it's such a special feeling to, you know, Tommy knows it very well as well. It's just a feeling that you can't explain. You have butterflies, you can't sleep the night before. All you look forward to is opening day and listening to the national anthem and being on the field with your buddies playing against a good opponent. It's just, it's an amazing feeling. It's hard to explain what it feels like.
Mendoza, did you really have sleepless nights before a ball game?
Late nights, maybe not sleepless nights. Not from nerves. it was, you know, your first year, you know, first time freshman year, it was nerve-wracking. Then sophomore year, just like, okay, been there, done that. Now we don't have to have double days. We don't have to go run. We don't have to go get yelled at by Batesel for doing something wrong, you know. Yeah, let's just play a game, and then whatever happens at the end, then we get yelled at by the next day, you know. So it was a nice break sometimes. But, then junior year, then obviously I was fortunate enough to play after. So that year I really buckled down and focused and did, you know, the extra stuff, stayed in, did all that stuff, just because I didn't want to.
And you won a national championship. Well, funny how that works.
Weird how that works out.
No, that was my sophomore year, so that was easy.
Oh, that's right. That was your sophomore year.
That was an easy year.
Well, you did lead the nation in homers, I believe, your junior year. Hit 27 as a junior?
Close, I think. Yeah, I think I had 27, 26. I think Matt Dominguez might have had 28. I got ripped off at Fresno because that wind.
Ah.
And then Rivera led the nation in homers the year after that. That's what it was.
That was the home run derby, which I wish I was in.
You inspired it.
Yeah.
He was, and then Judge was, and then Judge won. And Judge is doing okay these days, by the way.
What's he doing?
Not much. Going to the Super Bowl, you know, with his family.
Yeah, one of those things.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, more with Tom Mendoza and Torin Goldstein. Mike Batesel, by the way, is going to join us Thursday morning. So if you guys have some questions you think I ought to ask him, feel free to make some suggestions. If you two have some questions for each other, you can ask them when we come back. And if you at home have something you're just dying to ask Tom Mendoza or Torin Goldstein, send it our way on Twitter with the hashtag AskAg. AskAg, because we're at the World Ag Expo. Today's just the first of 3 days hanging out with you here in beautiful, sunny Tulare, California, on the home of your Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.
Live from the E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt exhibit, it's the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Brought to you by E.M. Tharp Golden State Peterbilt, Lakos, NNS Tractor, and Helena Agri Enterprises. Here's your host, Paul Leffler.
One of those days where you wish you had more time, but it's almost 2 o'clock. Tony Diodato will have Sportsline of the Bulldog Hour. Christopher Gabriel and Jose Gonzalez will have the CGP for you at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow here at the World Ag Expo, here's a little bit of our guest list. We're going to have Coach Mark Q. Jones. We're going to have the Athletic Director Terry Toomey from Fresno State. Congressman Devin Nunes will join us. Eric Hubbard, the Bulldogs equestrian coach. The softball coach Linda Garza. The water polo coach Natalie Benson. We'll have a former Bulldog rodeo champ, Katie McCaslin from Lakos, one of our sponsors this weekend. And also students from Las Banas with FFA who are raising money for Central Valley Honor Flight, near and dear to my heart on multiple levels. That's all coming up tomorrow. But we have a few more minutes with a couple former Diamond Dog players, Tom Mendoza and Torin Goldstein. Torin, were you old enough to watch Tom win the College World Series with Fresno State in 2008?
I'm not going to lie to you, Paul. I didn't even know where Fresno was when it was 2008. Even when Batesel came down to recruit me in 2013, he said, hey, do you want to come up and check out Fresno State? I said, okay, great. Where is it? And, I never really knew much about it. I watched the game, and I didn't know who Tommy was at the time, but, I mean.
But then you learned the legend.
And then I learned the legend. I met Tommy, and I knew why he was a legend. You know, he's Tommy Mendoza.
That's about right.
Yeah.
City boys don't know where Fresno is.
No, I didn't know where it was. Jeez. I was at Newport Beach. I mean,
he's on a beach. There's no beach close to there.
And here he is wearing the vest and the boots and the gym supply company hat.
Who would have thought, huh?
And so, Tom, 2008 happened, and it caught the baseball world by storm. It lit the valley on fire. Everybody was fired up for the underdogs to wonder dogs. I talked to a lot of you guys putting together a book about it, and there was one story that I just couldn't put in the book that has since come out because people weren't comfortable yet sharing that story. And Mike Batesel did an interview recently with our friends from the Hit or Die podcast where he talked about it, that one of the instigators for this great run that you guys put together was actually a fight on the diamond in Fresno?
Yeah, between Wilson and Sesdorf.
Where were you in that situation?
That's a good question. I think I might have either on deck or in the dugout, and it shocked the heck out of me. I was like, what do we do? Do we hold him back? Do we let him hash it out? Then all of a sudden we hear, just let him go at it. It's like, all right. And then okay, time to pull him off. It's just, all right. Okay, and then when it was all said and done, everything was done. It happens. In pro ball it happened. I've been in some things that not many know, and it's just – it happens, and it's once it's done, it's done, and you wash your hands, and you're fine.
Was that just a reflection of how bad both of those guys wanted it, and how much? What do you think was the impact of that situation?
I don't know. I would say it was a little bit of just heads clashing together at that, particular time. I don't think it sparked anything or didn't spark anything. It was just one of those things like, okay, if these two can fight, anything can happen, then let's just play baseball after that,
Yeah.
It just happened. It's part of the game. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not like those guys hated each other. It was just the heat of the moment, and let it fizzle out. It needed to be done. Let's just say that. The tensions, you can tell things weren't going the right way. And after that, okay, it gave us something else to talk about.
Well, and you said anything could happen. Anything did happen. You won the whole national championship. I've got to ask you, we're almost out of time here, but how often do you still think about those days, those moments, and that dog pile in Omaha?
Well, above my TV, I have a flag that has every single game, every single score, the coaches' names, all of our playoffs. It's a nice, beautiful framed pennant, I guess, a big old one with everything on it. So every day I watch TV, I see that, and my MVP trophies next to it, and then my WAC Male Athlete of the Year's next to it. My all that stuff's just shrined there, and I think about it a lot. I got a lot of Fresno State stuff, obviously, around the house, memorabilia. I got a Jason Wood bobblehead from when he was on the Isotopes.
He's nice.
A Fresno State guy. I got a lot of Fresno State stuff, and I'm a big baseball card nerd and memorabilia. I look at it every day, and now it's starting to be, like you said, 12 years. It's like, man, I'm done with baseball, but I can reflect on that and my trophies, my rings. It's still gives me goosebumps sometimes seeing it. And then somebody asks me, oh, well, is there stuff? You go on YouTube, I'll watch it with them, or they say, hey, remember this? Yeah, of course I do, but I remember it not more often than not, just because of all the memorabilia in the house.
Well, I know everybody even remembers it too, and they'll never forget it. We're out of time, guys, but thanks so much for coming by. I hope to see you at some ball games this year.
Yeah, sure. You're the man, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, Torin Goldstein and Tom Mendoza, their alma mater, Fresno State, opens the baseball season Friday night, 6:00 against UC Irvine. We're out of time today here at the World Ag Expo, but thanks so much to Eric Oslin and Luis Guerrero for their help here, Kevin O'Rourke as well. Thanks to Jose Gonzalez at our downtown Fresno studios. And if you didn't make it to the World Ag Expo today, come check us out tomorrow from 11 to 2 on the home of your Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.